The plight of Australia's Aborigines is under the spotlight again after a recent report found widespread sexual abuse of children amongst Aboriginal communities is being fuelled by heavy drinking. After the report was released, Australian Prime Minister John Howard declared Aboriginal child sex abuse a national emergency, and the government has since announced new restrictive measures to crack down on alcohol sales in the Northern Territory. Under the scheme, Aborigines would be tracked and their alcohol purchases recorded, measures which critics say are discriminatory and do nothing to tackle the problems at the root of such abuses. Australia's Aborigines, or Indigenous people, make up 2% of the national population. Most Indigenous people live in remote communities or towns and have battled poverty, unemployment and discrimination for decades. My colleague Susie Hodges has been finding out more about the plight of the Aboriginal people and how the Catholic Church is trying to help.
In the good old days, Australia's Aborigines lived by hunting kangaroos and working as cattlemen. But nowadays, all too often, they're drinking themselves to death. In Australia's Northern Territory, alcohol causes an Aborigines death every 38 hours. A recent report found what it called a river of grog, or alcohol, was destroying Aboriginal communities in the Northern Territory and fueling abuse of women and children. In the area around Alice Springs in the Northern Territory, many Indigenous people live in third world conditions, with as many as 20 people sharing one room. One person who helps minister to Aboriginals in the Alice Springs area is Catholic chaplain Father Asali Ras, himself an Indigenous. He says the government's big stick approach is not the right way to solve the problems afflicting the Aboriginal communities, and more consultation with elders is needed to come up with a long-term plan to improve their lives.
Well, right now it's pretty pathetic, actually. The Indigenous are not feeling good about the whole aggressive approach by the government. There's been a lot of questions on the details of the federal government's proposal. And so right now in Central Australia, things are not looking good.
What are some of the reasons why there is such a problem, though, of alcohol abuse, drug abuse among the Indigenous people?
The situation exists due to a combination of factors. Firstly, this is the ongoing impact of colonization. Personally, I feel it's a failure of governments to actively involve Aboriginal elders. People tend to ignore the cultural worldview of the Indigenous people. And there is also the lack of recognition of their own diversity here and lack of support for the community-based Aboriginal organizations that are going on in town. There's also, of course, the poverty, inadequate housing and the health services in Alice Springs.
So do people like you, the Indigenous people, feel abandoned and forgotten, even despised by the whites?
Well, there's a mixed feelings out there, especially amongst the Indigenous people. There are real concerns from the Indigenous. First of all, it's just that the ongoing negativity that has been portrayed in the media, it's always been against them. And so they feel that, well, the mainstream community know better than us. So they tend to withdraw and not get involved in trying to face the problems. It's kind of a blame game going on here, you know.
And when it comes to the rest of Australians, the mainstream community, how do they view the Aborigines? How do you feel that they view them?
There's an element of racism here as well, and I've faced it personally as a chaplain. There's a sense of national disgrace, to be honest, of what is going on. The majority of Australians, I would say, don't have any idea at all of what's going on in Aboriginal communities. So people tend to keep a distance from the realities.
You go out and minister to the Aboriginal communities in Central Australia, and particularly in and around Alice Springs. I mean, when you talk to them, do they come out with any anecdotes that somehow sum up the extent of their plight or their anger, their frustration?
Yeah. See, one of the biggest worries is really how they're going to be consulted so that they too can, you know, identify solutions to ensure that, you know, whatever outcomes are sustainable in the long run. See, one of the things that really makes people sick here is the ongoing poverty that I see in people's homes. people, especially children, they're sick because they're poor. And the poor health conditions that I find in remote communities, which in many ways brings down to the inequality between the mainstream and the indigenous peoples.
Can you perhaps give me some concrete examples of what living conditions are like amongst some of the Aboriginal communities you visit?
Okay. I just came back visiting one of the camps. There's no electricity. Now, this is 21st century Australia. There are camps here that don't have electricity. Homes, tin shed, okay? Just tin shed. And right now is winter. It's minus one in Alice Springs. They've got fires in their homes, not going. You know, there's no heaters.
What about water? Do they have running water? What are the sanitary conditions like?
There is running water, but sanitary conditions are not good. Some camps are not connected to the main plumbing system in the main town. Some don't have street lights, and so these ongoing social problems. You know, the overcrowdedness in people's homes.
When you say overcrowded, yeah. How many people, say, for instance, are sleeping in one room?
Okay, in one room there'll be around more than 10. Sometimes I've counted about around 20 people in one room.
Does the government or authorities have any long-term plans to improve their living conditions?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. I mean the government is really trying hard. Huh? Personally, there is a big gap here. You know, it's the cultural differences. To leave Ellistown and just to drive 5 minutes away, it seems that you're going into another century. Now, the government is trying hard to put in the necessary infrastructure. At the same time, you have the indigenous, you know, holding strong to their culture and traditions. The government is trying hard, I know, but it seems some of the programs are really not working.
Do you know why not?
I personally think the answers are within themselves. A few weeks ago, our local bishop released a media release responding to the inquiry into the protection of Aboriginal children from sexual abuse, and he said that government approach is really, it's sort of a big brother approach, you know, a bit bullying. However, he said that any approach ought to be in partnership with indigenous people. Without the involvement, without the voice of the indigenous, it can easily happen. Aboriginal people, many of whom, like today, they already feel powerless. They will just end up feeling disempowered.
You're a Catholic indigenous person. How many of the indigenous people are Catholic?
There are 6,000 registered Catholics here. I would say about half in Alice Springs, in Central Australia. So it's close to about 3,000 who are Catholics.
And what is the Catholic Church doing to help them?
We've got a lot of activities, ongoing activities, you know, that service the camps and the communities. We've got a centre care that is, you know, part of the welfare arm of the church in Australia, including here in our diocese, supporting the Aboriginal organisations in terms of personnel and just being there with them and working with them during these difficult times. And schools, you know, we've got schools that are going on, and our health services here. There's a lot of activities, church-run programs that help to support the indigenous.
When it comes to some of these problems we mentioned earlier, like alcohol abuse, drug abuse, petrol sniffing even, when you talk to people who may be struggling with these kind of problems, do they tell you what drove them to it?
Look, when I go to the camps, this is what they tell me. There's nothing to do. There's high percentage of unemployment, how do you? So when people have nothing to do and they're receiving the welfare money, people call it here the sit-down money. Oh, they just tend to drink. I mean, what else is there? They cannot get into the mainstream work because it's just too high of expectations on the mainstream society. So the level of anxiety increases, which also leads to one of the big problems we're facing here is the suicide. I've never buried so many suicide-related deaths in Central Australia since I arrived here as a priest.
So, I mean, if you could sum up, how do the Aboriginals feel about their future? How would you describe their overall mood?
At this moment in time, there is mixed feelings. Right now, from what I'm feeling, from what I'm hearing from the Indigenous, they're looking for leadership. They're looking for people to really care for them. I know they're still living on hope. You know, when the Pope John Paul came here 20 years ago, that was a really great speech, really asking them to contribute to the, you know, local church and to the economy, and also hopefully that their contribution will be accepted by the mainstream society.
My thanks to Susie Hodges, speaking there with Father Aseli Rice. Thank you.